This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Good morning, everybody. Afternoon. Everybody, it is Thursday, October 11th. October. I can't even believe it's October already, all the pumpkins and everything else. But it is Thursday, which means it's Thor's Day. So, of course, hello, Chris Hemsworth, wherever you are, and the invitation's always open to come on the show. We can talk books or what have you. But it is also International Day of the Girl. So if you have a young woman in your life, whether it's your daughter, your niece, your friends, check out unwomen.org. It's the International Day of the Girl, where we encourage women to stand up and wherever they are, and inspire and take charge and innovate. And with the 1.1 billion girls of today's world challenging the status quo, they're redefining girlhood, and they're doing it against the odds. So just read a little bit and see how you can empower a young woman today. But we also have a fantastic guest today. Her name is Jen Calotina. Oh, I know I said that wrong. Jen Calotina, who just arrived. And I'm going to put her on here in just a second. But as it processes over, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Jen. She is a former entertainment journalist who knows all about Hollywood. After beginning her career as a teen at a teen magazine, where she chronicled the backstage life at concerts with Justin Timberlake and interviewed Zac Efron on film sets, the writing bug hit. Her first series, Secrets of My Hollywood Life, about a teen starlet named Caitlin Burke who grows weary of the fame game but loved being an actress, was published in 9 countries. This led to her other YA series, including Sleepaway Girls, Summer State of Mind, Reality Check, and Bells, and Turn It Up is about a girls' high school a cappella group, the last one, Turn It Up. In her first middle grade series, Fairy Tale Reform School, readers get to explore a school run by Cinderella's formerly wicked stepmother, and Switched and the Misfits are the latest releases. So welcome to the show, Jen. How are you, my dear?
Thank you. Very good. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited. We have been talking back and forth on Facebook and online, and I am just thrilled that you're getting to talk with us today.
Oh, I'm excited, too. Thank you guys so much for getting me on. I appreciate it.
Sure. So let's start with just the beginning. You know, people always want to know how someone becomes an entertainment journalist. So tell me about that journey for you.
You know, it's funny. All of my friends in college were studying to be teachers, and I was the one communications major who really liked to write. And I always felt like, am I doing the wrong thing here? Nobody else wants to be a writer. What am I going to do with this degree? But I got an internship my junior year of college at a teen magazine that was called YM, and I just loved it. I loved it. It never occurred to me before that you could go write something that other people wanted to read, and it would be a topic that was of interest to you and the world. And so I was hooked from that moment. So when I graduated Boston College, I came back to New York and started applying for magazine jobs. And my first job was at a magazine called Mademoiselle. And I like to say I hope I am not toxic to the magazine industry, because every magazine I've worked for is no longer around. But Mademoiselle was around for 75 years, so I hope it wasn't me. But I worked there for 5 years, and I worked my way up from an assistant to working for the entertainment editor. And I always say she had the best job, because I was always, you know, setting up trips for her to go around the country and interview different stars like Jennifer Aniston or go to the Oscars. And I kept thinking, I wonder if I'll ever get to do this. And she eventually, once I earned trust, she started giving me really small interview assignments. And I was always the ones no one else wanted. But I actually was really excited, because I like to tell my kids my first celebrity interview was with Ashton Kutcher. And at the time, he was on That 70s Show. But my editor explained it as, you know, you're going to go interview this former model. He's going to be on a TV show that's probably not going to last because it's hanging out in a basement. And that wound up being my first interview, and it was Ashton. So I just loved it, and so I just kept working at it and eventually landed at Teen People magazine, where I really had the privilege of interviewing so many teen stars who it's been fun to watch and see how their careers have taken off and where they are today.
And you bring up a really good point because, you know, I mentioned earlier that today is the International Day of the Girl, but people need to realize, and especially women going through these different kinds of fields, journalism being one of them, sometimes you need to take those tiny assignments and don't ever look down on any small job, because it's building not only your own credibility, but are you able to work with other people?
Yes, that is so true. And I would tell my interns all the time, you know, I'd say I spent most of my day picking up dry cleaning and getting coffee right when I was asked to go get coffee. And occasionally I'd have to do really crazy things like buy Sarah Michelle Gellar's daughter a birthday gift because that's what my editors wanted me to do. But I did it all, and by proving that, I was trusted to do bigger things. And it's really important that you realize you have to put in the work if you want to be noticed, and you have to prove that you're somebody they can really count on in times of need. And I think thankfully I did that, and it really did pay off.
So being in the entertainment industry, tell me your favorite celebrity to interview.
Well, I do have to say it was probably Zac Efron, because he's just so charming, and he just couldn't have been nicer and more down to earth, which I always was really impressed when I'd meet a celebrity who seemed really normal. You feel like they live in this bubble, and you have people like, you know, grabbing things for you every minute of the day. So to find him so refreshing was just a joy. And I got to interview him on the set of High School Musical 3. And I actually was at the high school where they filmed the movies, and it was just very surreal, and he couldn't have been nicer. And there were other people, too, I really enjoyed. Beyonce, she was just always so gracious whenever we would interview her for the magazine. She, you know, was just a pleasure to be around. And sometimes I'll say to my kids, you know, we'll be watching a movie, and I'll say, Oh, I interviewed him when he was really, really young. And they'd be like, what? So, like, when they hear I interviewed Chris Pratt back when he was on a little TV show called Everwood, and now he's Star-Lord and, you know, also in Jurassic World, they just can't believe it. But, you know, everybody started somewhere. So it's always fun, you know, to talk to them about the different people I've met, like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, when he was doing his first movie, and see where they are now. So that's fun to me.
Well, and you mentioned it earlier about getting to interview Ashton Kutcher and people saying, this TV show's not going anywhere, so just, you know, go out there and do this. What was the most surprising one, I mean, person's rise to fame that you saw, like where they started and then where they are now?
Well, I mean, there were a few different things. I remember fighting really hard because Lord of the Rings was coming out, and I was not a Lord of the Rings fan. I wasn't really into that genre yet, and we were given the opportunity to interview Orlando Bloom, and they kept saying, well, he has such a small part, such a small part. And I said, yeah, but he's really adorable, and I have a feeling, you know, this Pirates of the Caribbean movie is going to do something when that comes out. And they wound up letting me do the interview, and we photographed him for the magazine, and I was always so pleasantly surprised to see how his career really took off. I think sometimes I look at, well, Hilary Duff, how she stayed in the game, and she was always so gracious and sweet as a young pop star. To see Chris Pratt where he is now is really, really cool. And then even Justin Timberlake, because I used to get to go on the road on occasion and interview NSYNC backstage at concerts, and you could always just tell he was just so talented. It's nice to see how his solo career has really taken off.
Well, and again, like you've mentioned it a couple times, the graciousness of it. And that carries, you know, that speaks volumes. And I think that shows not just in their work, but just in general interviews. And that makes a huge difference. And so now I want to talk about you in the sense of your work. So where did you get your love for writing? You talk about you were a communications major in college. But where did that begin?
So for me, you know, especially when I talk to kids about writing, I always say, you know, I didn't start out this way. I was actually a really reluctant reader. I did not enjoy reading on my own. I liked being read to, but I really got nervous reading aloud in class, and I was always tripping up over words. And I finally said to my teacher one day, I just said, I don't like to read. I don't like books. And she said, well, what kind of books are you reading? And I said, well, when we go to the library, whatever my friend takes out of the library, I take that book out next. And she said, that's not really a great approach because you're not looking for books that you're going to enjoy because you're not thinking about the things you're interested in. And I promise you, if we can find a book about something you're interested in, you're going to really love it. So I remember telling her I loved comedy, and I also really wanted to read a book about a girl on a big adventure. And she gave me Judy Blume's Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. And I was hooked from the moment I read it. And after that, I started reading Little House on the Prairie, which really was about a girl on a big adventure. And I loved those. And after that, I felt like the more I started to read, the better I started to read. And the more I started to read, the better I started to write. And suddenly I wanted to tell my own stories. And I started out small. I'd write about family vacations, or for some weird reason, I've always loved writing about the weather and different weather patterns, so I was always setting stories in the middle of a hurricane or a blizzard or all kinds of weather we have here in New York, and that just kept growing, and so eventually I worked for the school newspaper, and that wasn't enough, so I went out into the community and found a community paper for teens, and I wrote for them, and then I was forever writing teen magazines asking if they needed a local teen reporter on Long Island who could work for them. I just was completely hooked, but I never really saw myself writing books until I was much older.
And what was that catalyst? You know, you've done all these wonderful articles, you've done all these wonderful interviews, and now you say, I think I want to write a book. What was that?
Well, you know, definitely my job at Teen People was the platform for that, because when I was working there, I really did interview all these young teen stars on their way up. And what fascinated me is I remember, you know, one time we had to go shopping with Hilary Duff. The story was going to be like, what does Hilary Duff shop for? And as we wandered through the store with a photographer and I had my notepad, there was a ton of people taking pictures and just trying to stop her and get her autograph. And she was so gracious and kind, but also at the same time, I was amazed at how she was able to shop and not notice all the distractions and people around her. And I started to think, you know, that must be really hard. I wonder what it's like to be someone this young and have this fame, but also still be in school and have to do homework and have midterms and finals. What would that be like? And I thought, you know, that'd make a really good book. And I always like to say this was before there was a Hannah Montana, so there was nothing like this. But I thought, well, what if you took a teen who was so famous that the only way she could go to a regular high school is if she went disguised? And I thought, that's what I want to write. And so I always tell kids, never hurts to ask a question. You can always ask. And so I called up a book publisher that was in the same building as our magazine and asked if any editor there would let me take them out for coffee because I wanted to learn how you write a book for teens. And this one editor took my call and she said, okay. And I gave her the pitch and she said, you know, that sounds really interesting. And since I know you can write from your magazine days, why don't you go write this book? And if it's any good, maybe we'll hire you. And so I remember spending months and months working on it, and I wrote it one way, then I wrote it another way, then a third way, and eventually it caught her eye, and she said, why don't you go write this book? And I called it Secrets of My Hollywood Life, and there wound up being six books in that series about a character named Caitlin Burke, who basically was a famous star because she'd been in movies since she was a baby. And now she was at 16, she wasn't sure if she liked it or she just did it because that's all she ever knew. And she spent the six really trying to figure that out. And I kind of never looked back. I started writing and never really stopped. And, you know, now I also write for middle grade. So it's really fun to see my writing change over time and my interest change over time and still find readers who enjoy those Secrets of My Hollywood Life books.
Well, if you're just now joining us at Readers Entertainment Radio, we are talking to writer Jen Calotina. Is that, I'm saying it right?
Very close. Calanita. Super
Calanita.
Italian.
Calanita.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay. I don't know why I'm putting
it
the T.
It's a hard one.
About her books. And so one of the first time I found you was because of this incredible book cover. We were walking through, I think Target, and I saw Fairy Tale Reform School cover. And I thought,
yes.
Whoa, what is this? So tell me about your Fairy Tale Reform School series.
So when I was a kid, I loved Disney animated movies, but I loved Disney Cinderella, but I always cried at the end of the movie. And my mom finally one day said, "Why are you crying? Are you happy for Cinderella?" And I said, "No, I'm really worried about the wicked stepmother." And my mother said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, I'm very worried because she was mean, but I don't think she was really evil because she let Cinderella stay in the house. And I'm worried if she goes off to fairy tale jail that there's going to be no one to watch the wicked stepsisters. And then they're definitely going to grow up to become villains themselves." And my mom was kind of dumbfounded. And she said, "Oh, well, okay. But, you know, this is Cinderella's story. It's not theirs." But I always wanted to know the wicked stepmother's story. So when my boys were in elementary school, they kept saying, "Can you write something for our age?" Because all my other books were older. And so I started to think about Cinderella again. And I thought, if the wicked stepmother apologized to Cinderella and Cinderella forgave her, how would she prove she was now somebody who could be trusted in the fairy tale world? And I thought, well, maybe she would convince other villains that we know from popular fairy tales to also be good, and together they could teach kids on the path to villainy how to be good as well. And I thought, well, where would they do that? And he thought of fairy tale reform school. So that's really where the story began. And I really love writing about these kids who have to go to reform school because they've either stolen something or they're on the path to becoming villains or they're tricksters, and they're slowly learning how to be good, but while also retaining that very spunky, confident part of themselves that they can use to fight real villains in the world. Because who better to know a villain than a former villain?
Exactly. And so there's four books in the series. There's Flunked, Charmed, Tricked, and Switched is your most recent one. So tell us a little bit about Switched.
So Switched, I'm always, in each book I try to add new fairy tale characters that readers might be familiar with and then put a twist on it. So in Switched, my character Gilly is looking for her sister who has kind of been tricked by Rumpelstiltskin and gone off to join his army of sorts. And she meets a boy named Jack who's been put into fairy tale reform school. He's been misbehaving, and Jack's there because it is Jack and the Beanstalk. And he convinces Gilly to climb this beanstalk with him and go fight some giants. And things, of course, never go the way they're supposed to. And Gilly winds up in hot water and needs rescuing of her own. So I've really enjoyed getting to play around with the Jack and the Beanstalk story. And I added Beauty and the Beast to this book as well, because kids have long asked what would happen if Beauty actually joined Fairy Tale Reform School and what she would do there. And then I just finished the fifth book in the series, which will come out in March, and that's going to be called Wished, because it seemed about time to add a magic lamp. And so we do have a character who finds a magic lamp and makes a wish, and things, of course, go horribly awry at Fairy Tale Reform School.
It's never exact.
A lot of fun.
No. And looking at your face on your Facebook page, and I have the link here in the write-up of the show, you have the Misfits and wonderful videos of these different characters who are the Misfits. So what are they, or who are they?
That is Ben Kenobi. I apologize. That's my chihuahua. the Misfits, what happened was, I was writing these fairy tale reform school books, and in the books, one of the characters used to go to a school called Royal Academy, where all the royals in the land go. Anybody who's born a princess or a prince must go there. They really have no choice in the matter.
Yes.
And I didn't really think much about it, but as I started to meet readers, that was always the question I got. Well, who goes to Royal Academy and what happens there and who goes there? And so I thought maybe it's time to explore that as well. So while Fairytale Reform School is still going, we're also exploring what happens at Royal Academy. And we meet a young princess named Devon who has never really felt like a traditional princess in the fairy tale world sense. She's always learned that princesses sit in carriages and wave. They wait for a prince to come rescue them no matter what happens. They must wear fancy ball gowns, and they basically are very traditional princesses, and she is nothing of the sort. She is a girl who loves to climb trees. She loves to rescue animals. She can actually speak to animals. And so when she's told she has to go there, Sarah and her roommates are Sleeping Beauty's younger sister, and her new friends are Snow White's twin brother and sister. They kind of all rock the boat a bit because as kids, they're not the cookie cutter princess and prince mold that we've been taught from fairy tales, and they want to change the way things work, but the fairy godmother in charge really doesn't want to let that happen, and she might have some dark secrets of her own. So it's been a lot of fun to explore what it means to be a young royal, and I feel really inspired when I see people like Meghan Markle, like when she took her princess title, just to see what she's done with it and how her and Prince Harry are really changing the way we think of royals. And that's really what my so-called misfits are doing as well.
Well, I like that you're putting a new twist on it. It's fun to have kids say, okay, you've got this basis. Now, how else can you see this? And so it's almost like you switch the camera and say, okay, we're going to stand over here now and look at the scene versus over here where everyone else has stood many, many times.
Right.
And it's very cool that you've been listening to your readers. What other feedback are you getting from your readers?
Well, it's always funny to see who they want to see next. And, you know, as I said, I added beauty to Switch because when I think maybe just Fairy Tale Reform School was out, the first one flunked, a girl raised her hand at a school visit and she said, you know, you never show the library. And you'd think as an author you'd want to show the library in a Fairy Tale Reform School. And I said, you're so right. I need to set a scene in a library. And she said, and you know who would make the best librarian, don't you? Beauty, Belle. And of course, I can't call her Belle because that's Disney's name, but I was like, she is so right. So I love when they give me feedback like that. I will say one of the most popular pieces of feedback I get is about Gilly and a character named Jax, who actually is a royal who goes to Fairy Tale Reform School. And they are thick as thieves. They are really good friends. And you definitely see the spark of something there. And characters always want to know, well, when are they going to get together? Are they going to date? And I say, they're 12. They're not dating yet. So kind of like the mother and me. I'm like, they're too young, they can't date yet, and things wouldn't work out well, but I could see them together in the future. That's always my response.
And that's one of the differences between middle grade and YA, correct?
Yes, definitely. You would have date, if it was a YA, there would be dating involved, but in middle grade, I just don't think we need to go there. I think it's fine if kids sense there's a crush there, or there could be something more eventually, but we don't need to go that route yet.
Do you like writing middle grade more so than YA, or is it just kind of depend on the project?
I mean, it definitely depends on the project, but I really love middle grade. I have to be honest. I love having the opportunity to meet young readers who were, you know, so close in age to what I was when I started to really think about writing. And I love their feedback. And I do find that young readers are just so much more open and there's so much they want to share with you, whether it's good or bad, if they've liked something you've done or they haven't. And I'm always amazed when they find a mistake in one of my books and I think, oh my goodness, I didn't catch that, but you did. And so I just love writing for this age. It's such a great age, and to help a kid find a book they enjoy and that kind of push them forward in their love of reading, there's no greater gift.
So what you've written these projects, you're just sounds like you're constantly writing a new book, but what projects would you like to write about that you haven't been able to get to yet?
You know, it's so funny, but I really want to write more fairy tale stories. I feel like this has been a good niche for me. And as we all know, there are so many fairy tales out there and so many versions of every fairy tale. I'm always amazed when I hear of a new version of Cinderella even. Someone was just telling me about a Hawaiian version that I thought sounded fascinating. So I would love to play around with some other fairy tale ideas that I have in my head and see where that takes me, because it's definitely a world that I think I can continue to explore.
Do you get about the same amount of feedback from boy and girl readers, or is it predominantly like more of a 40-60 split? Or?
You know, it's funny. I am so pleasantly surprised because I feel like there's so much talk in the media and online these days about, you know, well, you don't give a boy a girl book or vice versa. And, you know, having two boys of my own, I find that such a ridiculous theory. And when I meet readers, they really prove that's a ridiculous theory because there are so many boys who are not scared off by the fact that there's girls on my covers who love reading about these fairy tales, who love meeting villains and pirates and all these characters. And my heart was so full the other night because I had visited a school in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and I told the school I was appearing at Newtown Books, a bookstore, that evening, and not knowing if anybody would come. And this young boy came running in out of breath. And his mom had explained that he came home, said this book sounded really interesting, and he wanted to read it. And he's not a reader. He doesn't like reading. And she thought, oh, my gosh, if he's excited about this, we have to go get this. Of course, he couldn't remember where I said I'd be, so she had to call around to a bunch of different places and libraries till she found me. But she put in the work, and he was just so sweet. And if my book helps him want to read more and he doesn't care if he's reading about a boy or a girl, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, I have a daughter who's dyslexic, and so now she's like, Mom, can we go to the bookstore? And I'm like, yes. She's not liked reading at all, and now to see her want to wander the aisles, it makes a massive difference.
Absolutely.
So thank you for, you know, inspiring so many kids to read and going out and visiting, because I know it's a huge, huge commitment that you do there. So we have about 3 minutes left. So tell me, who is on your to-be-read pile right now for yourself?
It is such a growing pile. It's so funny.
Every
day we add to it. I want to read, I try to read a bunch of different genres and adult books and teen books. I have The Storm Runner, the new Rick Riordan Presents book by J.C. Cervantes, and I hope I'm saying her name right. I have that. That's the next thing I'm going to read, which is about Mayan fairy tales and myths, I believe. So I'm super excited about that. I also have the new Ellen Hildebrand book because I love her books. I love feeling like I'm at the beach all year long. And I also have Rebecca Searle's The Dinner List, which is an adult book that really fascinated me.
Right.
It's about characters who have dinner with people alive and dead. And it just sounds so interesting and good. So those are the three that I have to get to next.
And do you tell your kids when you go out to read like a variety of things, whether it's just an article or in a magazine or sitting down reading a book?
Yeah, you know, I think that's so important because there was, you know, reading is reading. So if my son comes home and he's like, I don't want to pick up the new Magnus Chase today. Like, the thought of reading it when it's 400 pages long is exhausting to me. But I'll read my lacrosse magazine. That's fine by
right.
me. And I will say my boys have very different reading interests. So the older one really likes fantasy and magic and loved the Harry Potter books. My younger one just has not wanted to pick up Harry Potter yet. But all of a sudden the other day he said, you know, I'd really like to read the illustrated versions, the bigger ones. And that's
right.
fine. He loves graphic novels. That's reading. So I'm like, whatever you want to read, it's got to be something you enjoy, or it feels too much like a chore and you don't want to do it. Because they have required reading minutes every night. So you want them to pick something they're going to like.
Exactly. And that goes right back to when you were young and someone found a book for you. And here we are. With all these wonderful, wonderful stories out there. So we're going to wrap it up. And thank you so much for talking to us today, Jen. We really appreciate
your
time.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate
being
on.
Of course. And if you want to check out Jen's books, we've got Fairy Tale Reform School is out there. Switched is on the shelves right now, and The Misfits will be coming out soon. We also have her website, and you can follow her on Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, and Instagram. The links are there in the write-up. And everybody, keep reading. We'll talk to you real soon. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.